The News Dissector with Danny Schechter, Fridays at 1 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Good afternoon. Danny Schechter, the News Dissector, is in Tehran participating as a judge in an international film festival. Danny is one of my favorite investigative journalists, documentary filmmakers, and troublemakers. After making his latest film, Plunder, The Crime of Our Time, and the companion book, he used to think of Wall Street as a financial center, and now Danny thinks of it as a crime scene. He's calling for a jailout versus a bailout, a topic we will tackle today with our guest host, Lee Papa, who is an associate professor of English at CUNY Staten Island. He writes the blog The Rude Pundit at rudepundit.blogspot.com, and his new book, The Rude Pundit's Almanac, with a K, will be coming out in January from OR Books. Welcome, Your Rudeness. Are you playing hooky from the college's business etiquette luncheon today?
Oh, absolutely. It's really the only thing that I would rather be doing than sitting around with a bunch of professors talking business.
Yeah, well, you really got me with your comment about sometimes it seems like James Madison and Thomas Jefferson's ghosts are just staring down mournfully from the top of the Washington Monument, wondering if they should go tear up the very documents they wrote, because really, why have flippin' bothered? Would you like to comment about that?
I just think sometimes we've gotten so far away from that founder's intent of the freedoms that we're supposed to have, that and that we take them for granted so much that we just simply we're sort of betraying our roots. We're betraying that revolutionary root, the revolutionary roots of the nation.
Exactly. Which, how is it on the campus these days? Do the kids even care how their future is so screwed?
No. there's in most college campuses there's a great deal of apathy. But although I got to say it's very exciting to see those student protests out at the University of California now.
I'm with you. I started feeling that resurgence of hope in my body. Right now, Leah, we're going to take a quick cue, and then you're going to come on next. Okay?
Terrific. Hi, this is Lee Papa, the Rude Pundit, and welcome back to Danny Schechter's News Dissector Show. I'm sitting in for Danny, as you just heard from Sherry. Danny is in Iran, working at judging a film festival there. Sherry, are you still there?
Yes, sir, I am.
And
that was a great song. What was the name of that?
That song is called Dear Mr. President, not the pink version, but it's by Fitz and the Tantrums. Awesome album. Very brand new album. Sorry, don't get me started on music, or that's what we'll talk about for the next hour.
All right, we've got you've brought a guest in with you today. Has he arrived yet, or will he be coming in shortly?
I am here.
He is here. We just lunched together in the studio. So with me today is Jeff Kreisler. Jeff Kreisler is the author and stand-up comedian, and his book Get Rich Cheating has been featured on MSNBC and CNN, and he's just been all over the place. And Jeff's here because of the topic that we're dealing with today.
Well, how are we going to go about indicting, investigating via a PCORA Commission-type hearing these fraudsters, these banksters? Did y'all happen to catch Congresswoman Maxine Waters grilling the Treasury yesterday, Phyllis Caldwell? She's one of the Treasury's homeownership preservation offices. Did you catch that
video
at all?
Didn't see it. What happened? What did she say? She's always a good voice that no one ever listens to.
Well, you got to love Maxine when they asked her, what's with all these blue dogs fighting the president? Maxine, in Dorothy Parker's commentary, says, why don't you ask Rahm? He recruited every one of them. So she asked this woman yesterday, Phyllis Caldwell, chief of Treasury's Homeownership Preservation Office, that she kept saying, have you levied or issued any sanctions? Because they had sent out a press release November 30th of 2009 saying that if the banks didn't comply, that they would be subject to levies and fines. Maxine asked her six times. She never could get a coherent or concise answer. So, gentlemen, how are we going to force investigations?
I think the first thing we need to do is make English grammar mandatory at one. We could start with Palin and work our way down so that people actually have to make a little sense when they talk and answer questions.
Or they actually have to answer the question that's asked of them.
Exactly. Yeah. But that's a great American tradition.
Well, it was a simple yes or no answer. That's what I loved about Howard Dean. When Chris Matthews asked him on Monday, December 1st, 2003, Governor Dean, when you become president, are you going to break up the media conglomerates? In typical Dean fashion, he said, yes.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't fill 24 hours of airtime.
Right, right. You got a hem and haw. It's like all the Republicans that have been asked lately, what specific program would you cut? Hamina, hamina, hamina is usually the answer. or it's, no, I'm going to cut across the board, which is like saying you're going to go on a diet, but you're not going to specify, you know, whether you're going to give up Twinkies or carrots.
Well, Danny's calling for a petition that we're going to have online very shortly about investigating the fraudsters and financial criminals, indict them, prosecute using RICO laws, and incarcerate them. During the not savings and loan scandal or crisis, because it was a heist, almost 1,500 bankers went to jail. How come nothing's happened in over 2 years?
Because that would send waves of uncertainty through the fragile market, and the people that are making millions of dollars would be afraid they'd only make $1.9 instead of $1.92 million. And that would just ruin the economy, and that's also why we can't have the tax raids on the rich.
And how could small businesses get started if the rich people didn't feel free to invest in whatever ways they could?
Think about all the private jet pilots, their small businesses, all the limousine driver pilots.
Yacht builders, don't forget the yacht builders.
Like yacht scrubbers, people that scrub the vomit off of party yachts.
Yes. That gets really detailed.
Who are some of the small businesses that Keith Olbermann pointed out in one of his special commentaries? That things like Halliburton or companies like
right.
were considered small businesses.
Right.
Well, look, the right and the corporate powers have always been great at framing issues, at defining things as what they're not. Like the Clean Skies Initiative was Bush's add more pollution to the air, and
right.
just liberal media activist judges, Democratic leadership, things that don't exist. They've always been good at defining.
Well, and they've also they've been good at just creating definitions. You know, they simply take whatever words we think that whatever words are out there and mush them together into some kind of label, like the designation that Halliburton is a small business according to the legal definition that the Congress laid out. You know, those are things that need to go back. You know, the minutiae of this, that's what is frustrating for me is that so much of this is based on legal minutia within laws, and no matter what law is passed, no matter how it's sold to us, corporations and banks, they have all of these, they are able to tease out these legal details that create loopholes or create ways in which they can manipulate the law.
Well, that's why lawyers are so powerful. I mean, the right will discourage us approving lawyers that go for tort damages, but corporate lawyers, their job is to find loopholes, and they do a great job, and there's tons of them in any law. I mean, that's actually why I actually went to law school before doing comedy. It's fascinating. You move a comma somewhere in the Constitution, and we're all wearing knickers. And that happens on a level of regulations, and there's just so much room to manipulate everything, and that's what they do so well.
Or you just ignore an entire clause in the Second Amendment. And
exactly. Well, that means...
On something about wearing, do you know why attorneys wear neckties no matter what the occasion?
No.
They're afraid if they don't, their foreskin will smother them.
Aww. That's adorable.
Wow. That's great. That's great when you're talking to a couple of Jews. That's really.
I keep mine in a locket. That's how I do it.
Really? In a locket. Yeah. Wow.
Attorneys. Shakespeare was right. I think we should take them and put them at the bottom of the ocean. I almost think it should be a law that if you've been in a practicing attorney, you cannot serve.
Nah.
By the way, has anyone ever added up what a one-term, six-year senatorial service is financially?
What do you mean?
You mean the actual pay or what they then get when they go?
What they earn in 6 years.
It'd be like $1.3 million or something like that?
It's very close. It's $1,044,000, and that doesn't include their health care that they get.
Right. I love the guy this week. Who was it? There was a Republican, I think he's a doctor, the representative, who in the first meeting said, "Where's my health care? Why do I have to wait a month?"
Yeah.
I believe his health care should be delivered with a fist in the face.
It was the prescription for Viagra. That's really what he was going for. My wife can't wait a month. Therefore, I need my health care so I can get my Viagra.
Wife? He's a Republican congressman.
Oh, you're right. So the pages needed the
exactly.
He needed it for the...
And the Vitter lobby.
Yes. Sorry. It's very nice. You went classy with hookers, and I went with child sex. So I think we really have reached the level of the room.
She started with... You started with the foreskin lady.
It was an homage to his rudeness.
Oh, okay.
So proudly lowering the level of political discourse. So I want to get back on, how are we going to go about demanding that laws be enforced? Because are you both familiar with the prompt corrective recovery law that was put in place in 1991?
I've heard of it. I don't know all the details of the law or the amendments.
Well, William Black, the professor who wrote a great book, The Best Way to Rob a Bank is to Own One.
Yeah.
And he was on Bill Moyers, and they got tremendous response when he pointed out that TARP was illegal because that law was in place on the books that when these banks are too big to fail, that you don't give them money. You have to put them into receivership.
Okay. And then what happens once it's in receivership?
Then they break them up, and they can no longer be these huge. You know, Bank of America should be called Bend Over America.
Excellent. I love the way this things just keep getting anal and penile.
Sexier.
That's right. How many of Danny's listeners actually are used to the word penile and?
Isn't that what the justice system? It's a penile system.
It is. It's a penile
system. It's a penile system.
Yes.
And I have a degree in penology, but getting back to it, these obscene bonuses prosecuted with great penalties.
Of course. I mean, it's fantastic that people get rewarded for failure. I mean, you know, Richard Fold made $500 million just to start a financial crisis. You know, Carly Fiorina ran Hewlett-Packard in the ground and got $21 million, and she's a girl. I mean, you know, a guy would get 25% more.
Well, we don't pun. I mean, you know, George W. Bush ran how many companies into the ground, and yet that wasn't seen as disqualifying him to run the country.
Right. It made him seem more qualified because he was just like the rest of us. Hey, we're incompetent too. Yay!
Yes.
Well, as long as you brought up GWB, and I don't mean Governing While Black, let's just bring him in here for a moment.
Oh, is he here? Is he outside pitching his book? I wouldn't be surprised if he's right outside doing the dignity tour.
Did you see...
I hope he left the jar.
the blogger Driftglass has been on the show before, and I like Driftglass.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see his cover, Ayn Rand's Dumbass Shrugged, with George Bush on it?
It should be. I can't, you know, he's done an incredible job of towing the line of revisionist history. I mean, at this point, I don't even know what to believe in the past, if this is how it's always been. But I think the most disturbing part was what was in the more of the mainstream media about him saying the most disgusting moment of his presidency was when Kanye West called him a racist. Like, the nerve of him to say that. I can think of 911 more disgusting moments in his presidency.
You know, he probably wasn't informed about most of those other moments.
True. Yeah. He didn't hear about Katrina until three years later.
Right. Cheney, you know, he was in the Oval Office, you know, stacking blocks, and Cheney just wouldn't tell him.
I will give credit to the Republican establishment for at least having George Bush wait that one vital week. If his book tour had been a week earlier, then the Democrats wouldn't have lost all those seats in the House. If someone had taken the time to remind everybody what had happened when the Republicans were in power, just by showing George Bush's face on the TV, it would have been a whole different game. The Republicans, within 2 years, did a great job of revisionist history.
I love that they seem to be, one of the successes of the Republicans has been being able to push over the failures of the Bush administration onto the Obama administration. I mean, they started pushing that on Obama from the moment he hit office. It was immediately everything became his crisis. And Obama himself, you know, one of his failures is in not definitely separating himself from Bush and continuing so many of Bush's policies for some mad reason without having, you know, if he'd come into office and in the first day had said, you know what, don't ask, don't tell, that's over. And, I mean, that's symbolic. I mean, it's obviously has a great deal of impact on a lot of people, but that's also a symbolic, immediate change from the past.
Yeah. I remember I was on this Fox News Online talk show hosted by Eric Bolling, who's the subject of another rant of evil, what he is. But it was in February of 2009, like the 15th or 16th, and all of the Foxy commentators saying, well, this is Obama's economy now. It's Obama's economy now. And it was 2 weeks in, and, you know, economic levers don't really move that quickly. And now we're starting to see potentially promising signs again, and who's going to get credit for it? The Republicans, because they are better at controlling the message. We'll give them that. The Republicans control the message.
And that gets back to what you were asking about, Sherry, is how do we get investigations going? Well, I don't know. I you know, at this point, if we haven't been able to demonize Wall Street to our favor, it's only been demonized in the way the right has allowed it to be demonized, and we haven't been able to demonize it in a populist way. That has to be where it starts. The message has to start first. That's where the popular uprising comes out. When a message gets across about how this and these policies, especially the policies that started under Reagan and have been propagated since Reagan, through Clinton, the way those things have finally come to pass that came from there.
I think a lot of the powers.
Go ahead.
I think a lot of what might come and the way it's going to have to work is going to be through states' attorneys general, which I don't know if there are enough of them out there with strong enough backbones to do it. But, you know, Stephen Ratner, which was yesterday, settled with the SEC, basically pushing his charges underneath the water. The same day, Cuomo, still as attorney general in New York, came out and attacked him and is pursuing the case. And there have got to be more strong attorneys generals. And generally, there's been like five or six around the nation that will do it, that aren't spending their time prosecuting repeal of health care, but instead actually going after real problems. Because it's not going to happen in Congress. I mean, even when we just had this big Democratic majority, there's enough Democrats that are either basically Republicans in sheep's clothing or beholden to the financial industry themselves. It's got to happen through prosecution, and eventually there'll be enough momentum behind that people will see what's happening. That's my belief.
Well, I'm going to take it back a quick second here. First of all, let's not forget Nancy Pelosi told We the People that impeachment was off the table. Now, that appears in the Constitution six times. That's how important it was to the Founding Fathers that we preclude something like Bush-Cheney. Now, going back to where Ronald Reagan came in, yes, he came in with plundering and pillaging and a systematic dismantling of the middle class, but who actually started it was Jimmy Carter when he repealed the interest rates in all 50 states because he, too, failed to take that new wonder drug, Groaset, that all Democrats need, and he came to the Republicans. Then he started deregulating trucking, the airlines and telecommunications. And then by the time Clinton got in with Bob Rubin, with the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act, but the coup de grace was the Commodity Future Modernization Act of 2000 that deregulated derivatives.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the time Bush took over and he was selected rather than elected, there was a raging conflagration. So all of them are to blame for this.
Yeah,
and I'm so tired of the Obama Kool-Aid drinkers. By the way, guess who was Obama's financial mentor when he became a senator? Bob Rubin. That explains Geithner and Summers.
Robert Scheer has a great new book called The Great American Stick-Up out recently that does a good job of really illuminating the role of both parties in it. And I agree, both parties have been complicit, though in the interest of towing the lesser of two evils line, I think that, you know, the Democrats are less evil in this regard, but certainly they're not fighting it. And that's why I think it really takes, you know, a powerful, strong-minded, determined crusader of a way, you know, like the old Elliot Nesses of the world to try to make a difference. Like what Elliot Spitzer should never have become governor. He should have stayed as a great attorney general. Mm-hmm. He was slaying the dragons as best he could. And it takes more men and women like that.
Yeah.
Well, you know why Elliot got popped, don't you?
Because he was going after Sheldon Silver, or?
It was because he was going after Angelo Mozilo and Countrywide. And that's
Friends
why
of
the
Angelo.
Bush Justice Department, yeah. And what did Angelo just pay? $67 million with Bank of America picking up about $40 million plus?
Yeah, Angelo Mozilo is one of the great cheaters of all time. I mean, he had that classic move that Ken Lay did where he kind of tells people to keep buying while he's selling himself.
It's just, it's mind-boggling to me. And it's like what Danny says, enough is enough. We demand a criminal investigation. Sorry about that. And I think it was Jeff who said that we go to the Attorney General office, correct?
Yeah.
Yep.
How would you suggest that people do that?
Well, they could simply write and call their attorneys general in their states. I mean, the new guy in New York, I forget his name. Anyway, the new guy seems to be taking up a bit of the mantle, and Cuomo, you know, the governors can direct it. Part of the problem is now so many state houses have turned over to the red, if you will, that they're less inclined to do that. And they're putting all their resources, like I said, towards repealing health care, fighting health care, which is another topic, but
just to jump in, that's Eric Schneiderman. Eric Schneiderman was elected. And I also want to tell listeners that the number to call in if you want to talk to any of us or talk about this topic or make your own hooker or penis joke, you can call in at...
do you have the number?
I do. We've had a little confusion over the number. It is 888-874-4888. And, so you can call in there and join the conversation.
Now, isn't it interesting? Look at how people responded when Keith Olbermann was suspended and that they got over, what, 300,000 signatures? But yet there's been no demand, no traction to demand an investigation to September 15th, 2008, when we woke up and our world as we knew it was over.
Well, people like to take on topics that they can apprehend easily, and they can't apprehend the financial crisis. And that's why, for instance, this TSA, the body scanner thing has finally gotten some traction on people finally being concerned about privacy. It was abstract to them, and it's not abstract when some TSA agent is fondling your wife.
Yeah.
You know, that's where people finally, when it hits them. And the Keith Olbermann thing, what's fascinating to me is that, here's the guy that the left loves, and he's attacked by a corporation, and there's all of a sudden this awareness of how a corporate entity can control the airwaves.
Right. That, ultimately, that's what the key is teaching people how it affects them personally, because in the abstract, anything can be twisted into anything else. I mean, look at what the Republicans did with the healthcare debate. It can be death panels, and that's what, don't kill my grandma. That's the personal touch. So talking about the corruption in the corporate powers and the bailout and all these things, we've got to find a way to frame the issue in personal terms. And it was right there for a moment. It was about, this is why you're losing your homes. That was something that touched people. This is why you don't have jobs. That was how it touched people. but that never gained traction. And that itself became demonized as lazy people that couldn't work and couldn't, you know, get a job. They were just lazy taking government, all that stuff that they say. And
yeah,
so
well,
you need a way to make it sound like Angelo Mozzillo touched your wife.
That's a very good point. Is that Jeff who made that?
Yes.
Nice.
Do we sound that much alike?
Well, I'm unfortunately on a crack, Barry, and it's my fifth one since 2009. Don't get me started on that.
Wow. You know, you may need to slow down on the crack.
Or the berries.
How about both? But you bring up an interesting point, because I keep thinking the American public is much like that story about if you throw a frog in boiling water, he jumps out. But if you put the frog in a pan and just slowly turn it up degree by degree, he ends up boiling to death. And getting back to your point about how it's been framed by the Republicans that these people all bought houses they couldn't afford. Well, you know, I'd buy that story if it was 5,000, 1,000, even a million people. But when you have 14 million people who made the same mistake, and I was living in Vegas taking care of my dad out there, and they would come knock on your door and say, why are you paying $795 a month rent for a one-bedroom when we can get you into a $300,000 home for only $600 a month and no money down?
And, of course, how could you not take advantage of that? That's
because
a bargain to me.
I'm smart.
Well, that's the thing. I've always had this theory. It's in my act, and it's changing some. The idea that the American people aren't dumb. We're just never given a reason to be smart. That our lives are so good that why should we ever question things that come to us? Why should we look deeply into issues? And the fact that someone might come to you and give you a deal is too good to be true, $600 for a house, we just don't take the time to question that. Like, we've had for generations such a great lifestyle that we take good things for granted.
I blame reality TV. I think reality TV makes everybody feel smarter than they actually are. Oh, I'm not as dumb as that person.
Well, that's a good point. I don't even have TV anymore because I don't like Comcast policies. So I cut television last year, and I couldn't handle any more restless leg syndrome drugs. But what I meant by being smart, I sold real estate. That's how I had knowledge. And I knew that that couldn't service the debt. And I would walk around, and I have so many friends in Vegas who thought I was stupid because I wasn't jumping on the bandwagon to become a rental magnate. And 65% of the mortgages in Vegas are underwater right now. You can go into subdivisions, 300 houses, empty, and have been ripped out for all the copper in it. It's terrible. But you know what? I think that we're going to be taking a break here in just a few seconds, Lee. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right, we'll be back with Jeff Kreisler and his rudeness, Lee Papa.
His rudeness sounds like my junk.
I think you're still on the air, man. That's awesome. Would you like to fondle his rudeness under the table?
No, I'm going to scan you both. I'm going to have you come on Delta, and we're going to make a big protest out of this in Atlanta.
Are we going to a song? Are we going to? All right. Well, we'll just talk through here.
It's not quite 1:30.
There we go.
All right.
Okay. Cool. I'm gonna do with the terror out of me.
This is PRN, Progressive Radio Network, your voice for independent views.
Hello, I'm Mike Adams, the editor-in-chief and key writer of naturalnews.com and co-founder of the nonprofit site consumerwellness.org. I'll be starting a special segment on the Progressive Radio Network called The Health Ranger with Mike Adams. I'll be interviewing everyone from Dr. Jane Goodall to Suzanne Summers. Find out the latest in natural healing news and easy ways to live a healthier and more holistic lifestyle. So tune in on Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern every week on the Progressive Radio Network to hear The Health Ranger with Mike Adams.
This is Mitchell J. Rabin to tell you that we have two new time slots. Every Monday and Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Progressive Radio Network. Join me as I interview and dialogue with the sung and unsung heroes of society with passion and with commitment. Scientists, healers, filmmakers, musicians, environmentalists, and gurus on Mondays, and a call-in show where you'll be the focus on Wednesdays. Again, Monday and Wednesday at 6 p.m., join Mitchell Rabin as together we create a better world.
Stephen Lindman hosts the Progressive Radio News Hour, Saturdays and Sundays, as well as currently on Thursdays, as an antidote to government and corporate propaganda on the most cutting-edge world and national topics. Distinguished guests are regularly featured to provide commentary and analysis impossible to the dominant media, offering biased, irresponsible misinformation and what Project Censored calls junk food news. The Progressive Radio News Hour is Thursdays from 11 to 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, as well as Saturdays and Sundays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network. Make it a regular habit and stay informed.
Progressive Radio Network, celebrating 5 years of independent news.
Schechter's News Dissector Show on the Progressive Radio Network. I'm Lee Papa, the Rude Pundit. You can read me at rudepundit.blogspot.com. I am also on the Twitter machine at Rude Pundit, and I'm here in the studio with the lovable and handsome Jeff Kreisler, who is the author of Get Rich Cheating, and also you can reach him at getrichcheating.com, and also on the Twitter machine at Jeff Kreisler. And we're joined on the phone by Sherry Welch. Hi, Sherry.
Hello.
And I'm just going to a couple of things here. We've received an email from Virginia where somebody is picking up on what Jeff said and is and has said that why not issue a call to action? Everyone in the audience, call their state attorney general and the U.S. attorney in the U.S. Attorney General office or your U.S. Attorney office, and have them start arresting people for not doing their job. Well, that might actually have to start at the Attorney General's office.
Yeah.
And also, if you want to call in, the phone number here is 888-874-4888, and we've got a call. We've got Christina from Staten Island calling in.
Hi, Lee. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Christina. We know Christina.
I miss you guys.
Oh, is that what you're calling in to tell us? Oh, this is... No, no.
Well, I had a hooker joke and I forgot it.
No, no hooker joke. Tell us what's going... You're on Staten Island. Tell us what's going on. Do you know anybody who has...
Multiple families and is an elected congressman by any chance?
Yes.
Anything else Staten Island?
Yes. Or tell us if you know somebody... That was a Vito Fasella joke for those of you that may not be in the know. Do you know anybody who's been... lost their job or their house during this financial crisis?
Yeah, my neighbor lost her job.
Mm-hmm.
She worked with mentally disabled people.
Mm-hmm.
And she was laid off for it. Not for it.
I was going to say not laid off for it. Well, then, if you're going to be laid off for a reason, I think, you know, abusing mentally disabled people would be a good one. No, not that your neighbor did that.
You know, that's actually an interesting that you, I mean, as a step beyond the mentally disabled, one thing people don't recognize is the cuts in services. The services may be for the underprivileged, if you will, those that are in public housing, those that rely on the public dole, if you will. But if they're not working, if they're not being provided, how are they going to provide? They're going to be like back in the 80s, they're going to be on the street. Crazy people are going to be doing stuff. Like there were some stories recently about like a biker was just attacked on the Queensboro Bridge. There's going to be crime. It's going to affect people. Like not only is investing in education and services good as business strategy to build infrastructure, but it prevents you from getting stabbed and shot. And, you know, I think people, there's a remarkable short-sightedness in this world. And, again, I blame Vito Fasella.
They're supposed to be laying off people from my job, so I hope I'm not one of them.
Oh, really? They're going to be laying off people? Well, you know, that's the way the contemporary university situation is all the universities are having to cut their budgets. Maybe it's time for a CUNY student protest. Wow, I think I'm going to get in trouble.
I said that was Jeff.
That was Jeff. Jeff called for a protest about budget cuts at the City University of New York.
You don't sound that much alike.
We do to Sherry.
To Sherry, yes. And to my mother, apparently. But to me, no.
Oh, your mom's confused, too? Wow.
She's very confused. She said, call in and make a hooker joke.
It's a great mom-daughter relationship.
I can now tell their voices apart.
Oh, good, good. Well, thanks, Christina. Good to hear from you.
You too.
Thanks, Christina.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
No problem.
Okay, before we went to the break, you brought up a very interesting thing about had we brought Bush out, that we wouldn't have taken quite the shellacking. Why do you think that Barack, our president, is just so disengaged and enables all these people to tell these gross prevarications about him? I mean, they just outright blatantly lie, and he never says a word. Most recently, $200 million a day was the cost that Fox News reported every hour that he was spending on that trip.
I think he kind of approaches it as a sense of you can't play defense on everything. The Republicans attack and attack and attack, like going after NPR, $200 million a day, all this stuff. And it goes back to kind of the swift boning of John Kerry. You have to be selective about what you respond to, and that calculation isn't always done correctly.
Although when he tried to do the thing that he had done during the campaign, which was to have a rapid response team that immediately shot down any kind of swift boating type rumors about him. When he tried to do that at the beginning of his term, he was kind of mocked for it. And of course mocked by the very people who were trying to shoot him down, which I guess is not really the best turn of phrase. But he needs to have somebody out there on message constantly.
You know, Ed Schultz at Netroots Nation made a great comment after Shirley Sherrod got thrown under the bus. And he said, you know, this White House has a war room, but they also have a sissy room. And, you know, he's done an amazing amount of accomplishments. There's websites out there listing the 244. But as Joe Klein commented in After Hours on Real Time with Bill Maher, he said, this president should be sued for political malpractice because nobody knows all the things that he's done, like in the stimulus package, that everybody got a cut in their taxes.
Well, then there's the fact that most people, not only did people not know about that, but most people believed that he had raised taxes, and it is the opposite of the truth. Now, you can say that people were misinformed, it's been a squeamish thing on the side of Democrats constantly, since the Clinton administration at least, of being unable to say, no, they are lying. They are and calling it a lie, as if they're afraid that there's some legal definition of lie that that they're going to get caught saying something bad about.
Yeah. I agree.
I think we're going to go to another call. We still have Bill in New Jersey.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Bill.
Yes, by the way, I know, speaking of Staten Island, I know of a dominatrix, and I know a dominatrix in Staten Island.
Do you? Well, off air, off...
Yeah, she says business is slow, though.
Well, okay, you know what? That's it. That's the final straw. When business is slow for the dominatrixes, then I think the economy has really plunged into the toilet.
What is this world coming to, right?
Yeah. Right.
I think Shakespeare said that,
well,
right?
Well, Bill, I'm a dissectrix because I work with Danny Schechter, the news dissector.
Oh,
there you go.
So we can dominate the news that isn't told very often but should be.
Speaking of which, it blows my mind how two smoking guns are really just swept under the carpet. The Able Danger thing.
Go ahead. Define that for people that don't know what that is.
Well, Able Danger was the special op operation. I forget the Schaefer. Lieutenant Colonel Schaefer was head of a operation to investigate counter terrorism, and came across the ADA. He was in, I think it was somewhere in New York. And was it Brooklyn, or his team located four of the people who were on the hijacking, 9/11, and he wanted to go and take him out. They said, the attorney said, well, you can't do that because he's a United States citizen, and so you have to get with the FBI.
I just wanted to ask, and you know, we've sort of been bouncing around, but we're trying to stay focused on economic issues. Is there anything that you, I'd love to draw you into that. Is there anything, you're in Jersey, is there anything that you see there? I mean, you've got Chris Christie there that is trying to crush the unions. Is there anything that you see there? Not to, you know, just to sort of, because we're trying to focus the hour around economic issues.
Well, you know, just Atlantic City. I'm near Atlantic City. It's falling apart.
Yeah.
I've got Resorts was bought out, and my friend worked there since they started Resorts, and he's trying to keep his job.
That's because gambling has moved to Wall Street and become institutionalized.
Right.
Why do people have to go drive 2 hours when they can just go onto E-Trade and do the same thing?
Yeah. Well, I think gambling's always been on Wall Street. It's come to the fore.
Yep.
And can you imagine, you know, as far as the gambling goes, remember Bush 2's second term, his big signature issue at the beginning was privatizing Social Security. And why is that, you know, of all the things that are talked about, all this privatization, leave it to the market. What would have happened if all of everyone's Social Security wasn't put in the market in 2005, 2004? At the peak, we would be kaput.
Yep.
And, you know, it's like...
Yeah, you want to talk bailouts. You're talking about bailing out every old person who put in money into Social Security or bailing people out into the future.
Right. And it's like all these things, again, it goes back to Democrats being able to say lie or calling out things or thinking things through. Like, why don't people follow some of these discussions to their logical conclusion? It's like when you call someone a communist and in the pocket of big banks in the same comment. Like, there's a disconnect there.
It's a great question, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Bill. Thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, this was one of the great things that came out of the Ferdinand Pecora Commission hearings is we got FDIC. They shut down the bucket shops of Wall Street. There were no more runs on the bank. We got the Security Exchange Commission, which is toothless at this point. And we had the Glass-Steagall law that prohibited banks from engaging in playing Russian roulette with our money.
Yeah.
And I don't know how we're going to get that back again, because the financial reform bill, with the exception of Elizabeth Warren's, is it the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau?
Yeah.
And look at how long he dithered to appoint her.
Well, and that he hasn't really appointed her to anything that has any. I mean, he's appointed her to help set up the commission, but not appointed her to anything that would actually entail oversight. So, Jeff, I wanted to ask you. You wrote Get Rich Cheating as a result of some of the scandals that were going on towards the end of the Bush administration. Get Rich Cheating is Jeff's book. You can order it at Amazon.com. Probably makes a lovely Christmas present.
It makes fantastic, and everyone can get rich.
Yes. And you can also see, I'm going to keep plugging Jeff. Jeff is actually going to be appearing at the Economist Magazine's conference coming up December 4th, or you're on December
4th. The conference is The World in 2011, and it's the 3rd through the 5th, and I'm appearing on the 4th to discuss what the year of 2011 holds for everyone.
It's Jeff and Loudon Wainwright III.
Yeah. Bill Clinton is the keynote on that. So he's opening for me in a way. He's the day before.
but I wanted to ask. So do you see things having shifted in a different direction? Different kinds of scandals, or are we just continuing with the same kind of shenanigans?
It's a lot of the same type of scandals that are dripping out. They tend to be things like the thing that Ratner just settled for, the pay-to-play, the thing with pension funds. I mean, pension funds are a huge boondoggle for cheaters. New York State has basically a system where it was all kickbacks. There aren't as many giant corporations that are themselves an entire bubble like Enron was and WorldCom was. I will give a little credit to Sarbanes-Oxley and some of the stuff that happened in the 2000s as cutting back these giant corporations that basically inflate and take whole communities within them collapse. But there's still a lot of the smaller cheating that tends to be one form or another of sort of insider trading or having some information that others don't, sort of playing on this myth that, you know, the market economy is based on perfect information and there's no such thing. No one knows everything. And plus, there's always still plenty of cheating with government and with the revolving door between lobbyists and congressmen and the military and those things. The type of cheating is always going to be the same. They just have to rephrase what they do. It's like renaming. What was it? Blackwater changed their name or changed their logo.
The GXE. Yeah.
They have to every now and then. You get slapped on the wrist. You pay a small little fine that John Ashcroft monitors, and you move on and you just change your name.
So how's it been in your neck of the woods with both of you with foreclosures? Has it impacted your lifestyle, your neighborhood, your friends?
I haven't seen it, but that's, you know.
Yeah, I live a little more in the hood, and it's and I get to say it's the hood because I live there. but there have been a couple of foreclosures, but they're also scooped up pretty quickly by developers, by people.
I mean, the New York City metro area tends to be a little more insulated because at least at the moment that real estate isn't going to drop as much. There's people can see the future for that, whereas stuff that's 20 miles outside of Vegas that was developed, it's harder to see what's ever going to become of that.
Yeah, that's the sprawl, as one of the songs that we played was about. To remind you, the number here to call in is 888-874-4888. And we're talking multiple topics around issues of the economy. We're talking about why there have been no prosecutions of major figures from this most recent financial crisis. Who's the last person who got prosecuted? The last CEO?
Well, Angela Mozillo, who, for those that don't know, you mentioned him earlier, was the CEO of Countrywide Financial, who was one of the driving forces behind getting everybody into these subprime loans, and he also did a great job of kind of exploiting his own company for personal gain. They did pressure him, and I can't remember exactly if he was brought up and indicted or anything, but he basically settled, and he settled for, I don't know the numbers, not in front of me, but something maybe, say it was $50 million or even $100
million.
$67 million. Which is, you know, a month's work for him at
right.
the peak of what he was doing.
Right.
That would be like you and I be fined a dollar.
Exactly.
Yeah.
By the way, have either of you read the book, The Monster, How a Gang of Predatory Lenders and Wall Street Bankers Fleeced America and Spawned a Global Crisis?
I just got that. I actually did an event. The guy's name is escaping me. He'll kill
it's
me for
Michael
this.
Michael W. Hudson, and
right.
he's with the Center for Public
yep.
Integrity.
We just talked on the phone the other day. We did an event together where I did my Get Rich Cheating seminar, and he read some of that book. It's a great read.
Well, it is, and I thought of you because I watched your video, and I memorized, visualize, confront, achieve. And it reminded me because AmeriQuest was so horrible with their mortgages that they actually used footage from the boiler room with Ben Affleck, which was all about these horrific stockbrokers and how they scammed people. That was their training film.
Right, and they thought it was real. We actually we had a conversation with Michael the other day about that, and about like the people that believe Stephen Colbert is real, and you know my book, The Get Rich Cheating, which is also this fake seminar I do live, is in that voice. It's a satirical voice, and I'm sure there are people that believe it. And you know, I had one reading in San Francisco of all places. Some woman came up to me and said, "Aren't you ashamed to teach people to cheat?" And I said, "No, I'm actually not. I'm making a joke," but. There are people that take that stuff to heart. There are people that take to heart the bottom line, how much money I make is all that matters. And it even goes back to the talking about the kids on campus. Kids on campus today want to go get a job and make money.
But who's the last person to go to jail? I mean, not just
Bernie
get fined.
But he had nothing to do with
it. But Bernie Madoff,
crisis.
Bernie Madoff was a free agent. Bernie Madoff. Well,
he didn't have anything to do with the whole collapse.
No, Bernie Madoff was doing what all of the banks and financial institutions were doing. He just was he was just freelancing.
Might go back as far as Bernie Ebers, but that was almost a different wave of a financial crisis.
Yeah,
the WorldCom Enron wave.
The Adelphi. Yeah, that's that wave too.
And Adelphi was in there too. No one in the recent thing that I can think of. I mean, there's been plenty of fines, but again, what's a fine? Like Goldman Sachs, would they get fined $500 million? I mean,
yeah, that's nothing.
Yeah. Nothing.
And then there's, you guys bring up Enron, which was amazing, and Bethany McLean has a new book out with Joe Nocera. And they did a whole piece on, The Daily Show.
Oh, okay.
Did you see that?
No.
Oh, yeah, I did. When Joe Nocera, like, his name never looks like it should sound like that. So I never recognize it when people say it.
We have a call. We have Josephine from Brooklyn, New York. Josephine, are you there? She wants to comment on Jeff about cheating. Josephine, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, welcome to the show, and you wanted to ask Jeff something or comment on something for Jeff.
Yes, please.
Go for it.
Okay, Jeff, I was listening, and as far as cheating, you made a comment about the retirement funds. My husband has worked for UPS for about 18 years right now. And he was able to retire and get his 401k funds at the age of 65, but as of June of this year, they changed it to 68. So basically, we're screwed.
So they cut, he didn't get grandfathered in, he got cut out of those, so he has to go back to work for 3 years?
Exactly.
Well, I mean, it's part of the, you know, a pension system is basically, an unspoken promise where the company says, give us your money and we'll give it back to you later. But,
right.
You know, that, as I say in my act, you might as well give your kids to the Catholic Church and promise to get it back later. I mean, it's
very true.
It's unfortunate. And, you know, there's, I don't know what UPS's situation is, but, you know, that's where a union needs to step up and protect the rights of those people. I mean, they're talking about nationwide for public pensions and other pensions raising the age, but hopefully working in some sort of grandfathering. And I'm really surprised and disappointed, but in a way, maybe I'm not surprised that to hear that he was not grandfathered in, that they didn't change it for upcoming retirees.
Exactly, and especially as far as how men, there's a ratio of how long men live and women and stuff. I don't think he's going to live to see his 401 and retire. Isn't that sad?
Yes.
And that's due to the economy, naturally, right?
Will you get his 401k, though, after? I'm sorry.
I will.
Just being cruel.
I don't think I'll be around here.
Well, I mean, look, there's, you know, certainly something, you know, Rahm Emanuel for the Democrats said there, was it, you can't waste an opportunity like a crisis or something like that. And I think that corporate powers have taken the same line. I mean, there is, you know, frighten workers into more productivity and to giving up their rights and to giving up everything with your 10 and 12% unemployment. Say, oh, we need to cut pensions to make money. But where are the workers on the board of directors, where is their representation looking at the books? How do we know UPS really needs to raise it 3 years?
Right.
You know,
right.
And UPS, again, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I actually think they have a fairly decent union strength for the unions, what's left of them in this country.
Yeah.
And, you know, corporations just, they take advantage of this crisis as much as anyone else. And we'll look back in 15 years and see that, you know, the rights of workers have just disappeared.
Right. I think that's where it all begins, is that we must organize, mobilize, and unionize.
Absolutely.
Because it was the union that built the middle classes. And did either of you happen to catch when Joe Klein mentioned that the people in America aren't stupid? Back in the late 60s, early 70s, they made a decent wage, $22 an hour. They had a pension. They could buy a vacation home and send their kids to college. Now, they can't do anything. They're working two and three jobs. The wife has to work outside the home. By the time they get home, they turn on reality TV because they don't have to confront their own dismal situation.
Right.
Yes, and furthermore, it's even more sad because my dad belonged to the Carpenters Union. And he passed in 1993, and it's sad to say that Mom gets $270 a month.
Yeah.
His pension, that's nothing.
Well, thanks, Josephine. Thanks for calling in.
And,
okay. And you're right, and that, and I think Sherry's right that the way to get things going, that the way that the groundswell starts, is with that kind of citizen action. And unions used to be the place for that kind of action, and I think they can be again. That there is an opportunity, as there was in the wake of the Depression, to build a stronger union movement in this country. I did want to. You want some breaking news?
Yes.
Here's some breaking news. We were talking about Keith Olbermann earlier about and his suspension from MSNBC. Joe Scarborough has been suspended from MSNBC for campaign donations.
His donation was to the I'm a Jackass party, I believe.
Yes, yes, yes. I think that's actually just to the right of Republican. And he's suspended for 2 days after he acknowledged that he gave 8 previously unknown $500 contributions to friends and family members running for state and local offices. Wow, that's just great.
Don't get me started. Now, gentlemen, you have had such a lively debate here today. Please let everybody know how they can follow you and become fans. Lee?
You can read me. I'm at rudepundit.blogspot.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at rudepundit.
And you're on Facebook.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook, but yes, I'm on Facebook. Just
and
leave
Jeff,
it at that.
Tell everybody how we can find you.
GetRichCheating.com. And also a website, jeffkreisler.com, K-R-E-I-S-L-E-R. And there's Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff connected there. And I'm available for children's parties and bachelorette parties.
He's not good at bar mitzvahs. He's terrible at bar mitzvahs.
Well, I'm going to suggest both of you contact the unions in your area, and let's start building a fire that way. I want to thank you both very much. This has been the News Dissector radio program. You can reach Danny Schechter at dissector@mediachannel.org. You can visit the Plunder site, plunderthecrimeofourtime.com. You can order the DVD, get the book. He makes a very interesting case. We have a 13-minute clip on his blog, newsdissector.com/blog, that explains collateralized debt obligations, mortgage securitizations in very simplistic terms, and I hope people get mad and they take action. Danny will be back the first week in December from Tehran, and we hope that we get Jeff and the Rude Pundit back again. Gentlemen, any closing thoughts?
Stay active. That's really the best thing you can do. Stay aware, stay active.
And pay attention to the blog. We're going to be launching a petition calling for a jailout, not a bailout.
Thanks very much. Thanks for listening.
Thanks. Y'all have a happy Thanksgiving.